here's the thing. We're going to talk some Dolphins, but we are definitely talking Hurricanes. It's Canes FSU week, so I don't, you know. I'm certain many Dolphins fans are not super excited to relive what we sat through yesterday. I have a lot of thoughts about it. I'm imagining you do as well, Crowder, because that was not fun.
No, I'm getting upset now. Mm-hmm. I'll try to keep my calm, but it's upset. The worst offense in the NFL.
It's brutal. I mean, it's brutal.
It's ugly, but it's literally they can't score any points. So how do you?
But the weird thing is, you know, if you bring in a defensive-minded head coach and they have a bad offense, you kind of go, okay, well, it makes sense, and now they'll need, you know. But this guy's an offensive guru. Here's the thing. Here's I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but this is a big week because it is Canes FSU. Tua should be coming back this week for the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel just had his Monday press conference. He said the plan is for Tua to practice on Wednesday, and if all goes well, he'll be available Sunday. And the line already reflects that, by the way. Dolphins are 3.5-point favorites over Arizona, which, you know, you'd watch the last couple of games and you'd go, doesn't make any sense. But that's the Tua difference right there. He's probably worth 6 points.
Yes.
To the Dolphins line at this point, which is crazy.
Got to be worth something when they're scoring 10 points. It's just embarrassing. Tyreek and Watt, you have $58 million worth of wide receiver, and they get the ball twice, and Tyreek doesn't touch the football until the fourth quarter? Doesn't put a feet. It was sad. It was sad. I was at Publix this morning arguing with the produce man. No, they'll figure it out.
No, he's had chances to figure it out. Here's what really bothers me. They once again gave you an example of how little they care about the backup quarterback position, even though that position is what's bit them in the ass all season long. Yep. So they chose Skylar Thompson over Mike White, and it was probably a financial decision. And Skylar stunk. And then they had Tim Boyle, and he stunk. And then they went and got Tyler Huntley.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't exactly set the world on fire.
Doesn't have a match. If he's trying to set the world on fire, get a match.
And then he goes down. Now you're back to Tim Boyle, who has established over years that he stinks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the stats that were going around yesterday. Joe Shad in the Palm Beach Post, he tweeted out, Tim Boyle in the NFL is 0-5, he's thrown for 4 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and he has a career 56 passer rating. At UConn, Tim Boyle ended his career at UConn with 1 touchdown pass and 13 interceptions. Okay, now he did better at Eastern Kentucky, 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. My point is, they've shown you time and again they don't care about the backup quarterback position. If they had a modicum of decent play at the backup position yesterday, they'd have won that game. Yes. That's how bad Indy was doing. If he could have come in, because I don't know if you watch what happened with Washington, Marcus Mariota steps in for Jaden Daniels, throws for 2 touchdowns, 205 yards, 78% completion percentage. They have, to steal a tweeter's tweet, they have botched the backup quarterback position so badly that it's infuriating to me. Because if you remember, Tim Boyle was on the practice squad again all week. They activated him, I think, on Saturday to the actual roster, which shows you again, well, we've got Tyler Huntley. We don't care about the backup position, even though we have a history of the quarterbacks going down. And then all of a sudden, Huntley goes down. Boyle is incapable of doing anything offensively. Period. End of story. I'm not a football expert, but I think based on Joe Shad's tweet and what I see with my own eyes, Tim Boyle is not capable of coming in. So again, they threw away a winnable game because they weren't prepared for an eventuality. That has happened over and over and over again all season long for them.
And the preparation of that. Hey, it's a chance Tua goes down. We talked about it. He went down. He has concussion problems. Don't plan for that. There's a chance that Tyler Huntley gets hurt, and you have to have somebody prepared to play the rest of that game individually. Tim, get on in there. Go get him, big man. Man, throw 25 interceptions in his 8 years. Like, he's not going to get him. He doesn't even average a touchdown per year in his career. He's not going to go get him. It's just it's frustrating, and I kept saying, I went back, Hawk. Remember last week I went back, and I said, you know what? Mike McDaniel now, he knows what he has, and he has 2 weeks. They had a bye week. He has 2 weeks to prepare this offense with Tyler Huntley on board. I tell you another secret. Before he was hurt, that offense was doing nothing. It was embarrassing. Hey, let's make Jonnu Smith the king of the world. Okay, what you going to get out of him? One touchdown? We got seven now. We have 7 points. Now, it's just it wasn't good from the beginning. And to your point, I'm thinking when even the – who was it? The Teddy Bridgewaters. And it's crazy because Teddy got hurt his first 3 plays in the game. The Jacoby Brissetts, even those guys, okay. But you, I go back to them, Earl Morrill, when we had a legit backup quarterback to come in and win some games behind Bob Greasy. It was sad to watch the statistical worst offense, I would say probably in football. I would take some college teams. The Canes probably could put up more points in the NFL than the Dolphins put up.
They have 70 points total this season, I believe. 70 points total. They put up 70 in a game last year. They have 70 points total this season. And to your point, it is inexcusable to have 4 targets towards Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle. It is inexcusable for Tyreek Hill to end with single-digit receiving yards. Like, it's inexcusable what went on yesterday. And like you said, if they decided they were running the offense through Jonnu Smith, then what is – and we like Jonnu Smith.
Yes.
If he decided he was running the offense through Jonnu Smith, what the hell is going on?
It's ridiculous. I like Randy McMichael and me are real good friends. If I ever looked at the game plan and said, hey, Randy's the main target – yeah, coach, why would you do that? Why would you make the tight end the main target? This is, he's not Kittle. He's not Travis Kelce. It's and then I watched, and I thought, now I was just mad after the Dolphin game. So I'm watching the Jets game. Devontae Adams walks in there on Wednesday. He gets 6 targets. He's been there for 48 hours. He gets 6 targets. You've had these guys for years and can't scheme up a way to get them more than 4 targets. Tyreek Hill's 1 for 8. Like, come on, man. It's like he's going to upset. I don't know what he's going to say in this press conference that we're going to listen to. He's going to upset me with any answer he has. Unless he already did
his press conference. Like,
it's my fault. I wasted 14 days.
Starts with me. I have to be better. But I mean, that's comical at this point. Like, you have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle out there. It is comical to me that you're not just trying to throw a couple deep passes and see if something sticks. It is comical to me that you made the Indianapolis Colts defense. Because if the answer is, well, they shut down Tyreek Hill, I don't buy it. Sorry. You can have the greatest NFL defense out there. The great receivers find ways to get open, or the quarterback finds a way to throw a 50-50 ball at least that a great receiver can go up and have a good chance of going to get. Like, it's just, it's maddening. And they're goofing about it after the first half. They're laughing. Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, you know, holding up one finger like, hey, we only got 1 target. And Mike McDaniel's telling them, oh, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. And they didn't fix it. It's maddening. This game was a game that they gave away. For me, my opinion, this game was given away because they didn't have a backup quarterback situation that was even adequate. And listen, again, I'm not telling you Tyler Huntley was setting the game on fire. He was doing enough to win. They were going to win that game. I really believe that. They were going to win that game. Jason Sanders needs to make that field goal. You're in a dome. There's no wind in a dome. There's no elements that you have to deal with in a dome. Jason Sanders, because I didn't think it was the worst call in the world for McDaniel not to go for it on fourth and short and kick the field goal, because they were having a tough time, obviously, moving the ball, getting points. That has to be a gimme in today's day and age when it comes to the NFL. And it doinked. And it was just like everything that could have gone right didn't. But at the end, to me, if you have even an adequate backup quarterback, you will come out of there with a victory. But because, once again, they went into another week with a disaster at backup quarterback, they were unable to get a winnable game into the W column. And that's it. Just it makes me apoplectic.
Malik Willis won game with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Because like you're saying, he's adequate. That's what made me think of it. They ran the ball 35 times. He completed 3 of 13 third downs, and they end up winning the game. Ugly, winning the ugly game. That last play, what part of Tim Boyle's game did Mike McDaniel say, hey, fourth down, we got to get a first down to keep this game alive. I'm going to have him throw a pinpoint back shoulder fade to a guy playing tight man-to-man. Tim Boyle has never completed that throw in his life. He threw it out of bounds.
That was crazy as well. That goes to my point of not having an adequate backup quarterback. Like, Tim Boyle, if you can't at least keep a fourth and short inbounds and catchable, you have no business being in the league. Period, end of story. But he's shown you statistically over 5 seasons or however long, he doesn't belong in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And this is who they have as the backup quarterback. That was unconscionable to me. Like, first of all, they didn't even need that many yards. Just get the first down. Just get the first down and then figure out what the hell you're going to do. But get the first down. He threw the ball away, in my opinion. I don't think he knew what the game situation was.
And I said it when they're sitting down. I'm like, okay, they're going to run some little rub route, some little pick routes, a bunch of crossers, and have guys sit down on the sticks. That's what football coaches do. Hey, we need 4 yards. You run 5. You run 4.5. You run 3. Y'all cross each other and sit down. Just find the guy that has a little space. Throw it to him. Fall forward. Fall forward for a couple yards. We have a first down. Now we're rolling. No, a back shoulder fade. That's one of the hardest balls to throw in football. And that's, you're going to have the backup guy throw it? Tim Boyle has never completed that pass in his life. I don't know what high school he played at, but I'm sure he had more interceptions than touchdowns, because that's what he does in his career. That was
infuriating.
Well, and to your point, the defense is not playing great, but they were wearing Indy out.
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, they played well enough to win that game.
Yes, they're wearing Indy out. Just get some points on the board. Two good drives. Put together two good drives, you win that game. You have 12, 13 chances? Give me 2.
And I think you were right. I think if Joe Flacco was in that game, Joe Flacco was better than all 3 quarterbacks who we saw out there. We saw Anthony Richardson, Tyler Huntley, and Tim Boyle. Joe Flacco, the only one who didn't play, was better than all 3 of those, probably combined at this point. So you were right in saying that Anthony Richardson gives the Dolphins a better chance to win, because they were only in that game. And again, he does unbelievable things. Jalen Ramsey had him dead to rights for a sack. And I don't know how Anthony Richardson didn't crumble. You know what I mean? Like, no. 9 out of 10 quarterbacks crumble in that situation. Jalen Ramsey had him, and Anthony Richardson dusted him off like a little piece of like a mosquito had flown on him. It was crazy to me. So he gives you some crazy opportunities to extend plays and get open. But Joe Flacco would have picked them apart.
I think Joe Flacco's oldest son's about 14, 15. Let's try him out. We gave Skylar Thompson 3 years to sit around. Let's see what Lil Flacco got.
I mean, can you imagine, like, they again, with the backup, when I watch, and again, you know, Washington is much better than Carolina, so I'm not telling you that Marcus Mariota came in for Jaden Daniels and won a game for him as a backup. They were going to win that game. But Marcus Mariota is one of those guys who's available. There's a lot of guys like Marcus Mariota who are available. And for whatever reason, the Dolphins have shunned all those guys. And when our backup comes in, it's an unmitigated disaster. Mm-hmm. And so even to get Tyler Huntley up to speed, it took 2 weeks and then a bye week. And then it was like, okay, now he's got it. But they had wasted all that time. Maybe he could have gotten up to speed had you signed him during the offseason, and he would have been ready to go. And when they had to go to Tim Boyle again, it just infuriated me because, again, it's the same problem that has cost them this season. Inadequate backup play. Not just inadequate. Horrific backup play.
Yeah.
Has cost them all season, and it did it to them again yesterday. And they've seen for five games, we're not really good at backup. Activate Tim Boyle off the practice squad. We'll be fine. Nothing will happen to Huntley. I mean, it's illogical.
And after the Steelers go and sign Russell Wilson and trade for Justin Fields, you're watching what he's doing. Drake May is better than any backup we have. All these rookies, Jaden Daniels, hell, he was an MVP talk, so I hope he's not that bad hurt. All this Caleb Williams. I can go through guys that have been in the league for 2 months that are 10 times better than anybody right now active for the Dolphins at quarterback. Anybody. We're the worst quarterback in the league. The worst offense with the worst quarterback in the league.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
Tua just met with the media. Now, I'm reading here from Adam Beasley at Pro Football Network, okay? So Adam Beasley has written this synopsis about what Tua just said to the media. You can read it at profootballnetwork.com. Tua says he's been symptom-free from the day after the concussion. He said he never considered retirement and won't wear one of those guardian caps. Why, he was asked. His response was personal choice. So, and I saw Devon Achane was wearing one yesterday during the game. Tua is not going to be wearing one. I watched the press conference, like I've watched during the commercial break, the video of it. He was very relaxed. He was wearing a little sleeveless hoodie. He wasn't taking any of this stuff, you know, like with the seriousness that many wanted him to take it. Like he was asked, like, you've heard all the people talking about you retire. And he's like, yeah, I didn't pay attention to any of that stuff. It was a very casual press conference, so anyone who wanted to make it a bigger deal, this is more from Adam Beasley. Will he play with more caution and not take unnecessary risks? Tua replied, got to be smart. My entire time playing football, that was sort of my edge when I would run. It's a professional setting, the best of the best. You just can't be doing that. I'm assuming he's talking about not sliding on the play that he actually ended up getting concussed on. Tua acknowledged it's frustrating to miss time and to be the symbol of the NFL's concussion issue. Quote, it's just frustrating that I couldn't have helped in any way outside of coach and just talking to guys. It's been a different type of way of leading. Tua acknowledged that the team made the right decision to put him on IR to protect myself from myself. Quote, Tagovailoa, when asked what he would say to people who were truly concerned about him, said, quote, I appreciate your concern. I love this game, and I love it to the death of me. Tagovailoa said that the discourse around his latest concussion has been shaped by what happened to him 2 years ago when he was taken off the field on a stretcher in Cincinnati in a national showcase game. Tua said he remembers everything about what happened the night of his recent concussion, aside from a few spotty moments when he got up and went off the field. He remembered the play in which he got hurt. Tagovailoa said he's been throwing for the last 5 weeks, including some with Odell Beckham Jr. When asked about the risk of continuing to play, he likened playing football to driving one's car to work. Quote, there's risk in anything. I'm willing to play the odds. There you go.
Well, the whole guardian pad thing, I know y'all pushed back. His personal opinion is that he doesn't want to look goofy.
I didn't think Devon Achane looked goofy in it.
He did look goofy.
He did not.
Huck, you tell me you wear this, you'll be protected. It's a better chance you're not getting hurt. Like why those, don't you wear it?
Those, personal, you seen those big-ass hats? Those big-ass hats? Some of the players create. Like wear a big-ass hat.
No, embarrassed. I wear an 8.5. I'm embarrassed to put a hat on sometimes. And that's a regular hat. It's just a big-ass hat. It's just not what we wear because he looks goofy. But to the point of what he said, his professional setting, that was the most interesting thing to me because we talked about that. I don't care if the game's on the line. Do not go head first. Because if we lose this game, if it's 4th and 6 and the linebacker's coming to hit you and you're 4 yards and you're going to drop your shoulder now, we're now going to lose that game and we're going to lose 3 or 4 more games after it because you're not playing. Third down, you're scrambling. Oh, we got to get this first down. You know, we're in the red zone. Slide. 4th and 2, kick the field goal. And I'm sure that they've had this conversation with him. There is no single possession, single play for the Miami Dolphins now with how their roster is constructed that Tua should put himself in danger, even if, and this is crazy to say as a competitor, even if the game's on the line.
Until you get to the playoffs.
See, there you go.
What? No, in the playoffs, then the game matters.
Okay, he gets that first down in the playoffs.
You're telling me. No, wait a second.
And now he's not to sleep.
Wait a second. No. You're telling me that the Dolphins quarterback cannot, under any circumstance, try to extend a play.
No, he gets to the play. Scramble. Move. When them people get close to you, don't look for the sticks. Fall down. He can extend plays. I want him to extend plays. I want him to move sideways. I want him to, you know, throw the ball. I want Tyreek to streak across. I want him to all the great stuff we want the good quarterbacks to do. I want him to do that, Hawk. If another human being without your jersey color on is anywhere around you, fall down. Don't
Here's
let
the
them
thing.
Touch you.
We have all week to talk about Tua. I don't want to let Tim Boyle and Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer off the hook and Jason Sanders. Like this story, obviously, as we get closer to Sunday's game, it's going to be there. I don't want this to distract my anger from yesterday. Because I just want to say this. There is no scenario where at the end of a Dolphins game, Jonnu Smith should have 7 targets and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle should have a combined 4. These guys, listen to this. The following had more or just as many targets as Tyreek Hill yesterday. Jonnu Smith, Malik Washington, Devon Achane, Julian Hill, Odell Beckham Jr., and Jalen Waddle. They all had as many or more targets than Tyreek Hill.
That's ridiculous.
If that's what your quarterback, your backup, and your starter, Tyler Huntley, if they're incapable of finding Tyreek Hill, then they can't be your backups. And if it's Mike McDaniel's fault, if you're incapable of calling plays that gets the ball in the hands of Tyreek Hill, then you shouldn't be the head coach. That's pretty simple stuff to me. Like, that's simple stuff. Now, I'm going to bet all the overs next week because Tua is going to be back. And because, like, the over-under on receptions for Tyreek yesterday was 4.5. I didn't touch it because I didn't know what was going to happen. But the over-under was 4.5. Let that be moved down a little bit because he only had 2 targets. You know, like, please, I'm begging. The only over I'm not betting is 2 rushing yards.
Yeah, let's stay away from that for a while. But this is the thing. I had a chance to watch the football yesterday. Do you know that when you play the Lions, there's no sneaking up that Amon-Ra St. Brown is a great receiver?
Right.
When you play the Viking, I watched Jet get him a beautiful touchdown thrown to him, probably 7-8 targets. You're not sneaking. Jamar Chase, where's Jamar at? Defenses know where Jamar Chase is, just like they know where Tyreek is and Waddle is. It's a scheme-up thing to get a one-on-one and take a chance on a great receiver. There are great receivers, and they're going to get a lot of attention. That's what they do is get attention. Don't just say, oh, there's a couple people by Tyreek. Let's throw to Jonnu 18 times. No. Put him in motion. Have him chase him around the backfield somewhere and slip him out and find a safety that's lost in the middle. Get that separation. Throw him some outs. Like, you can scheme up that thing. So to your point, I'm not letting Mike McDaniel off the hook because I gave him a mulligan after Tim Boyle and Skylar Thompson was in. Last week I gave him a mulligan and said, you know what? He has 14 days to get ready for this game. He has Tyler Huntley. He knows his personnel. He's about to get this offense right because that's Mike McDaniel. I can't give him too many more mulligans. I don't know how many mulligans you give a guy, but that was embarrassing. And Tyreek and Waddle having one target's crazy.
Crazy. So two targets, one reception each.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, the whole notion of, oh, they're, you know, I wasn't watching him closely, but I'm guessing he was getting doubled because there's no way you could shut him down with just a guy on him. So let's say he's getting doubled. So they go, you know what? We'll throw to Jonnu a couple times, loosen up the defense. They won't double him. Hey, after seven attempts, seven receptions from Jonnu Smith, they're still doubling him. Just start throwing him the bleeping ball. He's Tyreek Hill. Just start throwing him the ball. Throw 50-50 balls up in the air. Do some bleeping thing.
Huh? You don't think when he almost had 2,000 last year, they were double-teaming him?
Like, doubled constantly.
When he was at 1,680, they didn't say, oh, man, this Hill guy's pretty good for the Dolphins. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Do you think maybe Mike McDaniel should have been clearer with Tyler Huntley and Tim Boyle? When I say look for Hill, it's not Julian.
Julian can't get over because he jumps off sides too damn much.
Good God.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, Aronde is going to join us this hour. I don't want to get too sidetracked because Aronde is going to join us this hour. I want to make sure that we have... plenty of time with him. So,
Solana. A failure from the GM position to add a quarterback. Yes. A failure getting the quarterback, and those quarterbacks failing at a position they are not comfortable doing. And then a failure at Mike McDaniel for not scheming up something and understanding your personnel. Dome three levels.
I'm with you. Lost Chris Greer. Failure to go in with Skylar Thompson, not Mike White, and then go get Tyler Huntley and Tim Boyle, and nobody can even give you an adequate performance. So failure at that level. Then Mike McDaniel, correct, failure. You're part of personnel decisions, and then you've got to scheme up offenses that somehow suit the personnel that you're given. But also, I'm not letting Tim Boyle off the hook. You're an NFL quarterback. You've got to know on that fourth down that you can't just chuck the ball out of bounds. And if that was actually trying to be an accurate pass to your receiver, you should retire today because then you don't know what you're doing. I mean, you're an NFL quarterback. In that situation, you couldn't keep the ball in the field of play?
This is an NBA game, down by two. A guy takes a three-pointer, and it flies into the crowd.
Right.
You can't, like, hit the backboard. You can't hit the rim. You're at the highest level of football in the history of the world. And you throw it and hit a cameraman, the cameraman was scared. If Tim Boyle plays again, every cameraman is going to be terrified that they're going to get hit in the face.
Play again. That's the end of that phrase. It should never, that, no.
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 Talk to the Dolphins like a bad dog. No.
Bad dog. No. Honestly, I'm sorry. You cannot have Tim Boyle out there.
No.
You couldn't put together one drive against a mediocre team at best to win that game? Like, get off my team.
Yeah. That's where we're at.
All right, let's get Solana's back. Let's get headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour with Solana. Brought to you by Durrell Volkswagen. At Durrell Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Durrell Volkswagen.
I'm going
to
give you.
If you told me this summer we would do an hour on Tim Boyle, I would check your blood pressure.
I mean, who's had better NFL stats, Nathan Peterman or Tim Boyle? I'm not even joking. I'm not joking. I think we got a worse version of Nathan Peterman.
Nathan Peterman's Tim Boyle's role model.
Like, yeah, they tell Tim Boyle, if you keep working hard, you can be Nathan Peterman. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
This gold sheet has Nathan Peterman's picture on it. One day, baby. One day.
One day.
I'm going to read you guys another stat here. Hawk, just close your ears because this is just going to infuriate you even more. Alec Ingold, your fullback, had more reception yards than Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle combined. By the way, Alec Ingold, only one reception in the game.
Yep. Nice little deep pass. Got to scan the field, find where Alec Ingold is.
We have the fastest human on the planet.
The fastest human on the planet. And Tyler Huntley's looking for Alec Ingold deep. I mean, would you be upset at Tyreek Hill if he said, you know what, I'm not practicing this week. I'm not practicing until you show me that I'm part of this offense. Jalen Waddle were laughing. I think a lot of people, it rubbed them the wrong way, but they were laughing on the bench with Mike McDaniel after halftime. But would you understand it if Tyreek Hill is talking to Drew Rosenhaus going, what the bleep is going on here? KC's undefeated. Like, what the bleep is going on here?
I'm sure those conversations have happened.
Yeah.
As a fan, I'd be upset. As a player, if I was on the team, I'd be upset. I'd be like, Reek, man, you know you get paid for the 6 days of the practice and not just the game now. You're making a lot of money, bro. Get your
ass out. Like, I'm out here practicing, and then I'm running wind sprints while they're throwing the ball to Alec Ingold and Julian Hill.
I never thought he'd be a decoy. I'll agree with you.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the price of this decoy? It's mind-boggling.
Most expensive decoy in league history.
And Waddle's not far behind. Waddle was out there basically getting cardio in the entire game. That's it.
I have to feel like he's probably angrier than Tyreek Hill because Jalen Waddle would probably be a number one on a lot of teams. And he's had to take this role, and it's always been like, well, listen, you have one of the best receivers in the league, so just kind of be good soldier, and they gave you a new contract and whatever. But now he's what? Number four behind Alec Ingold and Jonnu Smith and Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm Jalen Waddle, I'm going, wait a second. Like, I should be an NFL star. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be, if I'm on a team with Tyreek, okay, because it's Tyreek. But now you're not even throwing Tyreek the ball? Like, what am I doing here?
That interaction on the sideline, and I was watching it live, you know, you saw it, everybody's speaking about it. That was frustration and anger, but didn't want to cuss a nice coach.
Yeah, they couldn't
out.
Believe it. They couldn't. That was one of those situations where you laugh and make fun of something that you know is just terrible. They Jalen and Tyreek were sitting there probably ripping Mike McDaniel up and down, and then he happened to walk over. So now they just start smiling and goofing with him. They had to be beside themselves.
That's anger. That's anger misdirected towards laughter. Because, everybody's like, oh, they think this is funny. No, if they don't laugh right now, they're going to fight.
Yeah.
There's nothing left to do but laugh at how bad it's been. That's what it is. There's nothing left to do.
But to Waddle and Tyreek's point, honestly, with that frustration, who do they run up to? They run up and get mad at Tyler Huntley, or do they yell at Tim Boyle? Like, what's Tim Boyle going to do about this situation? He can't make the throws.
Oh, I agree. No, it's on Mike McDaniel. It's on Chris Greer.
Yeah.
There's if I'm Tyreek or Jalen Waddle, yeah, I'm not. I mean, Tim Boyle has shown you over and over again who he is in the NFL. That's not a surprise.
It's funny. And I think he's a punchline name because it's just a funny name of Cleo Lemon. Cleo was on the team. I was with Asia at the time. He had his wife. We were engaged, I believe. Like, we were friends. We'd go out to eat together. There was no time that I walked into a game saying, boy, Cleo going for 303 touchdowns a day. That's not what he's doing. They know that Tim Boyle and Tyler Huntley are not doing that. They're not made like that. They didn't fall out the womb like that. So who am I mad at? I'm mad at the guy that's supposed to scheme this thing up, but I can't cuss out the head coach. Remember what happened? What was that? When Tyreek was screaming at Mike McDaniel a couple games ago, and that was a problem. So I start screaming, running around screaming because I'm frustrated. Now I got to answer questions of that. Now I have one target through a half. Now what am I going to do? Now I'm going to laugh it off because when I get emotional and I look mad, now I'm a problem. But this is a problem that nobody's addressing, and I'm one of the best receivers in the world, and I have one target. No, this is a problem, but I got to laugh it off because they don't want to see the angry black dude run around and scream on the sideline.
Crowder, you can use Cleo Lemon, bring up any Gus Frerotte, whoever.
Yes.
Whoever. The Dolphins offense over a span of four games has never looked this inept in my lifetime. Period. End of story. Doesn't matter who the quarterback was. Pat White, concussed during that Steelers game, was more productive on the ground, unconscious, than what the Dolphins have put out as a product over the last four games. It's embarrassing. Oh. It's embarrassing.
Tyler Thigpen, John Beck, Young Henny, yeah, they didn't look this bad. Those teams I was on that we make fun of, they didn't look this bad.
Maybe one game.
I keep saying that Marcus Mariota came in yesterday. He was great. Like, that's what you need a backup to do. We've said this for four games now. You shouldn't go from this to the bottom of the bottom when your backup comes in. And it's happened with three backups. Mm-hmm. Three.
Over 5 weeks.
Crazy.
Keep rolling them out there.
You're still in the race. Still in the race.
You know what? I said
Tannehill.
I don't know if No. That was mine. Don't steal mine. You got to find somebody else. Y'all made fun of me.
You know who I want to go get.
Y'all made fun of me when I was talking about Tannehill.
Get the Pastrnak.
He's on Geico commercials now.
I'm telling you, the Pastrnak leads them to a touchdown when they need one yesterday to win the game.
Josh Dobbs is better than anything we have on that field.
1,000 times.
Yeah.
1,000 times.
Tannehill is too. There's available quarterbacks out there that would do better than Boyle.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
Aronde's on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. I said to you, Crowder, at the end of the last segment, he was a Dolphins receiver for many years. I would imagine that yesterday's game probably annoyed him maybe more than someone who wasn't a receiver in the NFL for many years. Aronde Gadsden is joining us now. Is there any way, OG, as a receiver, is there any scenario where a healthy Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle play the entire game? They're both, you know, healthy and not missing plays, and they both end up with a combined 2 catches for less than 20 yards? Is that possible?
If Dave Wannstedt was the coach, we had Ricky Williams in the backfield, and Jay Fiedler was the quarterback. It could happen. I mean, it happened to me. You know, it could happen. On a Monday night game, too, Ricky had like 43 carries, and Rob Conrad led the team in receiving. But anyway, back to yesterday. Nah, I mean, that shouldn't happen. Not the guy we just voted, not we. I guess the NFL, just voted the number one player in the league, shouldn't have one catch. I mean, this has been happening the last 3 weeks. I mean, I think in the last 3 weeks, he's had a total of 4 catches. Like, you know what? And to go back to the point where you just had the promo, you know, they didn't build that guitar because we win. Because Sabrina and Nephew killed me yesterday. Killed me, Sabrina. Come on, help me. I'll get more than 15 points, would you? I mean, I had a good parlay going. The Commanders, Philly. I had Seattle. I had the Liberty, the Dodgers. I even had Tyreek Hill to go over 0.5 yards rushing. I hit that.
All she
had to do was get 15 points, and she won for 8 and 3s. Come on, lady. Anyway.
That was all part of one parlay? You had that all in a parlay?
Yeah, all in one parlay, yeah. $10 would have got me $1.7 million, and she didn't do it. Anyway, I mean, you know, listen, I've said this. I'm upset, but I'm not upset as I would be because I've told y'all this since the beginning of time. 3 years ago when we were in Twin Peaks, The guy does not have a plan B or plan C. He just has a plan A. He's the same plays he's been calling since Tua was in. Now, he hasn't changed not one play. Not one play. Not one play. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, when Tua was up for the money, and I even said, yeah, I think we should give Tua the money because nobody else is going to run it. He hasn't – like, you see when he throw to Jonnu Smith, Tyreek and Waddle is wide open behind him. They're behind him wide open. The glance is wide open. The post four step is wide open. But Tyler Huntley's going to throw to Jonnu Smith because that's what he knows. That's what he feels comfortable with. If you go back, you would think, if I get Tyler Huntley, I'm going to go and pay attention to whatever he did in Baltimore and call those plays. Nope. I'm calling the same plays as if Tua was in there, and I want him to run it. No, man, no. But he only has plan A. He has no plan B. We haven't switched anything. It's the same thing. Like, it's, you know, it's frustrating to see. And that's why Tyreek Hill and Waddle, of course, you're a receiver. We need to ball. We need to be involved. Of course, I'm not going to look for the ball if it's the third quarter and it's the first deep ball I'm getting. I was just running sprints. That's all I was doing. I just staying healthy, getting my heart rate up. And now you throw it to me. Oh, I'm no, man. We're not wired like that. We need to be involved in the game. We're going to start throwing our helmet, start looking crazy. Our mama's going to be on the internet tomorrow. That's just how it works, man. That's just how it works, you know.
Well, OG, you make it sound a little more funny than our frustration. Let's keep going. What about on that fourth down in the fourth quarter when he threw the ball out of bounds? Could I'm thinking about a snag seven. I'm thinking about a bump route, double crossers. This is in my mind, OG. They're going to get some guys to the sticks. This dude throws a back shoulder.
What were they were 3 yards away maybe from a first down?
It's crazy to throw the ball that deep and not run anything at the sticks. There's a lot of concepts. OG, there's a lot of concepts. I don't even know it. I know you know it, that you can get 3 yards.
The snag will always be my route, man. That's the best route in the world to me. Like, I'm putting the defense in all kind of conflicts. Especially like the snag guy is a football player. I'm winning that. I'm winning that on the buzz linebacker all the time. But anyway, I mean the whole last minute and 20 seconds was terrible. Like, we could do better than that in high school, bro. Like, clock the ball. Like, do something. Like, you gonna run a hurry up with Boyle? Come on, bro. Like, I mean, they just kept on running plays. Like, come on, man. Like, spike the ball. Like, do something. Like, you spike the ball on third down. Now you know it's only one down for that young fella to get that. Come on, man. He's not running. Like, I don't know. I just think, once again, and you see him holding that sheet, and they show him all the time. Nothing else on that sheet, bro. Nothing going to just jump out at you on that sheet because you haven't changed it. Like, you would think if Tim Boyle should have some plays that he knows how to do. When Tim Boyle in the game, I'm putting 11 people at the line. Like, especially after we know what he did in college. I'm not even covering the receivers. I'm putting 11 right, people on the line right. of blitzing.
He's never going to get that to them.
He's never going to get it. Like, I mean, it's just ridiculous because he just hasn't changed it. Like, you would think. Like, if you run Waddle and Tyreek on two crossing routes, somebody got to rub somebody. And if they catch it on the other side, somebody going to run for 137 yards. Nope. We run the same plays. Like, if Tua was in there, same plays. That's why they're frustrated, bro. That's why you can tell.
Does he have a chance, Mike McDaniel, of losing the offensive players? The players seem to love Mike McDaniel, but you did see, you know, at the end of the when the second half was starting after the first half was over, and you know, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek were sitting on a bench together, and we know it was all laughs when Mike McDaniel walked over. But there's no way that they were goofing before he got there. They just kind of changed their demeanor,
right?
Yeah, but like, does he have a chance of losing the offensive players with like, hey, what are you doing, coach?
I hate to beat this dead horse, but you have to do something different, especially when Tua is not in. Now, the saving grace, we hope that Tua will come back and relive the Tua from last year. Just like the Jets hoping, you know, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers from, you know, 2019. Like, Oiler, you know what I mean? I don't know how that's going to work, but that's the saving grace because the plays will now work. Like, Tyreek will now get 5 catches for 127 yards. Waddle will get his 3 for 89 and a touchdown, and we'll be doing the penguin again. Like, I hope that's the way it is, but, you know, it's tough. It's tough because I think, you know, the book is out. And that's why I was so adamant about the change. You have to do something different. I'm happy to see Jonnu getting the ball because we never used the tight end, so that helps. I mean, you can look back through the 3 years he's been here, and what's the tight end stats? Like the leading tight end in the last since Mike McDaniel's been here. We had Mike Gesicki. He had like 20 catches. Like it should be more than that when you got these two dynamic receivers. But he's going to call the same thing. Like I think if Tua was away longer to week 12, I think that he was in jeopardy of losing everyone, be quite honest. But I think the book is out, and that's the problem. I used the analogy. You remember when Cam Newton was doing the Superman, and he was like, "Yo, if you don't like it, stop it." And what happened the next year? They stopped it. We hadn't heard from Cam Newton since. They stopped it. Let him pull the ball, and we just keep hitting Cam. Don't worry about who got the ball. Hit Cam. If he won't run the zone read, hit him. And they know now, you could tell in the first two games, the Jacksonville and Buffalo, they're not really going for the interceptions. They're not really going for, you know, they're just trying to intersect, just trying to disrupt the timing. Like, we're going to run into the guy. When Tyreek hit his fourth step, when Tua hit his third back step, we're just going to run into people. They're just running into people. They're not sticking them. If they're right, they're right. If he holds it for an extra second longer, then they wide open for a touchdown. But the book is out, like, because he's not going to change. He's not changing it. The routes haven't changed. They just haven't. And I think that's the frustrating part. You know, when you go into a game plan, you know, you have some new wrinkles, and you as a receiver, you know, as the whole offense, you're like, man, we practiced this all week and we didn't run it. And you get frustrated. I don't think they had those plays. I don't think they got some new plays that Tyreek and Waddle have not done. Like, oh, we practiced this all week and didn't run it. That I don't think they have that. They got what we always been running.
They got OG and something else. Tua had his press conference today, and I won't lead the witness on this. I just want you to answer the question. He said he will not wear the Guardian helmet, the little extra pad on the helmet that people that have, you know, that have concussion histories wear right. That little extra pad. Right. Why do players make the decision not to wear that pad?
Because it looks like you're on a short bus. You know, they don't want to look like they're on a short bus. That's the only reason why. I see the guy from Buffalo, the safety, he wear it because he know he's going to bang people out. Like, I'm going to bang people out. Like, if you see a safety or a linebacker wear that helmet, know you're getting banged out because they don't care. I'm running into you. That's a pre-warning. That's a, like, I'm going to run slap into you. I don't care.
That's a warning helmet.
Right, that's a warning helmet. And when he comes to you, you know, it's going to shoot flares because I'm about to bust your face. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about my well-being. Like, I'm just going to run into your full speed.
That's funny. If you see a defensive player wearing the Guardian cap, that's a warning that you're going to get stuck. Yeah.
Never right. You'll get rocked.
People's heads off.
Yeah, yeah. What I tell you, Hawk.
No, I mean, because Aronde said it. Stop it. I mean, listen, if you don't wear the Guardian cap, you could actually end up on that bus. So how about you wear the cap?
It's all about the look.
It's all about the look. You know you don't want to look like that, but you should wear it. Tua should wear it with a – Tua should wear two of them. He should wear two of them, like and one on top of the other.
Put a My Pillow on your head, too.
Right. He should have one of those helmets, an airbag, and another helmet, just in case. But, it's unfortunate that we're in this situation, and I think that
you should play in a car seat wearing a seatbelt that has an airbag attached to it, just in case there's a collision.
Just in case there's a collision. And we should not go for it on 4th and 7 when Tua's at quarterback. That's what we did. We said kick it. We said kick
play
it.
For field, you know, listen, flip the field.
Flip the field. Just flip the field. That's your fault. That's your fault, Mr. Wonder Boy. That's your fault. Yeah, go back to the old hair. Go back to your old hair, dude. The one you had when you first got off the plane. Go back to that one, not this one.
Yeah, you got a little too cutesy with the hair.
Yeah, man. You got a little too cutesy. You
let's
know
go
what
back
saying?
To where like, we came from when we were putting yeah, 70 yeah. points up in the game, yeah. not the season.
Yeah, so the we had 70 points in one game. Last year we had 70 points in 7 games this year. Like, oh, mackerel.
He used to like, have the vice principal hairdo. Now he has the club owner.
Right. He got the club owner. He done got the money and bought him a little lounge down the street.
He forgot what got him here.
He don't want to be the vice principal no more. He just want to own the lounge, open it up at 5. I got the liquor license. I can stay open past 11:30. Yeah, man. Like
we found for
the joggers, man. We were good with just the joggers. That
we
was
were.
Good. Now
we
you
really
done went
were.
To the hair.
We were.
Like, yeah, you went too far, man. Now you got the glasses, the hair, like the watch. Come on, man. The joggers was enough. Now everything looks
good. Joggers off whites, and then give us the vice principal hair. We're good to go.
Yeah.
He got the hookah flavors.
Yeah.
Now
he got the cleats on. He taping his fingers up like he about to get in the game. Like, come on, bro. We're going too far.
See you, Rondé. We'll talk to you next
week.
All right,
man. Y'all take it easy, bro.
There you go. Rondé Gadsden making us smile after a Dolphins loss.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
You know I love me a little Hall & Oates to start out any hour. Very good. 4 o'clock. Hour. We'll start with the stock market report that's sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. Mixed day on Wall Street. Dow Jones was down 344 points, which isn't as much as it used to be. It's less than 1%, but the Dow is so high. You know, it used to be like a 300 plus point loss was like so earth shattering. It's just not anymore. S&P 500 down 10 points and the NASDAQ up 50 points. Reminder, listen to WQAM tomorrow. You know, the Heat have opening night Wednesday. Tomorrow, we give away a pair of Heat tickets for opening night every other hour. So Heat opening night at the, is it the Kaseya Center? I wasn't even certain for a second. At the Kaseya Center against Orlando is Wednesday night. And, of course, you'll be able to hear the game right here on 560 QAM. But if you want to go, make sure you're listening to this radio station tomorrow. We will give away a pair of tickets every other hour. One other note, our Dave & Buster's gift card giveaway is back. We've got a $250 gift card that could win you... Dave and Buster's in Hollywood watch some football or basketball or hockey and enjoy $250 to spend on food and drinks and games in the Midway. So if you want to win that, go to WQAM.com, click on contests, and you can enter right there. Dave and Buster's in Hollywood, one of our great partners on this very radio program. All right, let's start the 4 o'clock hour. There's a lot to get to. Let's start the 4 o'clock hour with headlines. And Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Just seeing this right now, Hawk, and there is some Tua news in case anybody's just getting into their car. I'll get to it in a second. But some of the Dolphins reporters, I'm just reading Barry Jackson right now. Cam Smith is coming off IR, and this was actually the last week he was eligible to get taken off IR. If not, he would have missed the rest of the season. And Braxton Berrios, we know he was taken off the field with a brutal, what looked like a knee injury. He goes on the injured reserve list, so he'll miss at least 4 weeks.
Yeah, they were guessing that was going to be serious. It did look serious.
Yeah, no bueno. So... Here's the update on Tua Tagovailoa. He is coming off the IR. And the plan is, from what I understand, Hawk, that he's going to play this upcoming Sunday when the Dolphins play the Arizona Cardinals.
Mike McDaniel said he will practice Wednesday. That's the plan, but he still has steps to take to get through the concussion protocol officially. But the plan is for him to practice Wednesday and be ready for the game on Sunday.
I like it.
I think he has to be cleared by two doctors to finally kind of clear those the actual concussion protocol. So two separate doctors.
But as he said in his press conference today, he didn't even have any post-concussion symptoms from the day after. So I can't imagine he's not going to be cleared.
They're going to ask him questions about how he feels. And to your point, he's been telling them the same answers for a month.
Right. This is just formalities at this point.
Yeah, because are you sleeping okay? Do you have any headaches, any sensitivity to light? And he says, say no. But he said, like, to his point, he said, I've been telling him I don't have any sensitivity to light or headaches for a month.
I mean, let's not forget, we found out from Raheem Mostert, I think it was Mostert, that the day after the hit against the Bills, remember, that was a Thursday night game, that Friday night, they were at Disney on Ice with their families.
Which is the sign of a head injury. Because I don't know if you've ever been to one of those things. They're awful.
Oh, they're pretty fun.
They're awful. Granted, I didn't have a little girl. I would imagine if you go there with your daughter and it's all cute. I think we went to one of these Disney on Ice things once with DJ. He and I were staring at each other like, what the bleep is going on here? And Lori was having the time of her life.
Come on. You're telling me that Cinderella comes out right after Ariel? What? Comes out right after the
no one
the
even knows who they are. No one knows what's going on there.
You got Ariel, Jasmine, and Cinderella.
Are we talking about Jimmy's OnlyFans again, or are we talking about Disney on Ice?
Yeah. It's crazy to be a guy to put a damper on this tour return. We weren't rolling in a Jacksonville game.
I know. There's some trepidation. Listen, they would have beaten Indianapolis with Tua. I am 100% convinced of that.
Yes.
Arizona, I don't know. I mean, we'll watch tonight. They've had some good games. They've had some bad games.
Yeah.
So all I know is I am betting Tyreek Hill overs. Whatever they are, he cannot have another game like that. There's no player props up yet for the Dolphins game. Dolphins right now are 3.5-point favorites over the Cardinals. Over-under on the game is 48.
You know what? A team averaging 11 points a game, I can't just say overs, but
no, just like it is such a crazy season.
The over would come by the Cardinals. I mean, the Dolphins defense has been good, but if that's going to hit over, it's because the Cardinals, I would think, are putting up points on this Dolphins team.
I mean, Tua, healthy, rested. Mike McDaniel is an offensive genius. Oh, okay. He's seen what works, what doesn't work. I feel like it's a recipe for a lot of points.
But to OG's point too with it, I give OG credit. He said this a couple years ago. He was like, Mike doesn't have the back of that playbook. You're not, if you see, I always bring it up because I just, this man's a damn genius. Everybody knows it. You see how big Andy Reid's damn play sheet is. And it's literally like, hey, I'm going to run these. Oh, they got us on this. Let me go to the green side. Let me go to the blue section.
But he's a Hall of Fame coach with a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame tight end. And like that, like you can't compare. I compare them to a team that they should be compared to. Instead of that team. That's one of the best teams we've ever seen in the history of the NFL.
Okay. A very good comparison. Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell.
Perfect.
He's right there. He's right in this little realm of these new age coaches. Don't yell and don't cuss and all. He has a quarterback that's not as good as Tua. He has a top five receiver. We have two top 10 receivers. He has one top five receiver, and they have a very good defense. I think we have a very good defense. Why can they continue to put up points on everybody, and we have 11 a game?
He had no problem last season.
That's what, but it's this season. Like, it wasn't.
He hasn't. Tua hasn't been there. Like, let's wait and see Sunday at least.
And that's what we need. If, now, if Tua comes out and they throw up 20 plus 30, not 20 plus 30, high 20s, low 30s, then okay, it was Tua's injury. But like, yeah. I go back to the Jacksonville game or Buffalo before he was hurt. We weren't a well-running train then either.
But that doesn't absolve, even if they put up 35 points on Sunday against Arizona and win, that does not absolve Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel for going into this season with putrid backups.
Yeah.
Putrid.
Yep.
Doesn't absolve them of that.
Not at all. Does it look so bad what the Atlanta Falcons did, having Kirk Cousins and drafting Michael Penix?
I guess not.
Again, all you need to do is look at the Washington game yesterday. Marcus yep. Mariota is one of the kinds of quarterbacks who's available in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the kind of guy who can come in, throw two tutties, put up 200 yards of offense. And you know, is he as good as Jaden Daniels? No. But is he the drop-off to Tim Boyle?
No. And we're not talking about Hall of Famers. I bring up Tannehill. You bring up the Pastronaut. We're talking about Wentz and Flacco and these old guys. Like, they're not Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks.
No.
They're just a couple notches under your starter, and we have no notches under our starter.
Two things. First of all, regarding Andy Reid's playbook, Crowder, unless you've actually physically seen it, I'm not all too certain that the back end of that playbook are just a bunch of menus to different restaurants. And secondly, what does it say? Because we keep, okay, we default to, as OG says, he has no plan B. I'm willing to accept that on the road against Seattle. The plan B just wasn't there. But Crowder, at some point, over a four-game sample size, okay, you didn't have a plan B, but you figure one out. That's my biggest gripe here. It's not that the team has looked bad. I expected them to look bad.
Plan B might not necessarily be the play calling. The plan B could be not having a backup. Like that, like it might be nothing further than that. That, hey, it doesn't matter if we have Skylar Thompson or Tim Boyle or Tyler Huntley. Doesn't matter. They'll be fine because my offense is fine. And maybe that's the not having the backup.
But Hawk, at a certain point, it didn't work against the Seahawks. You looked awful. You looked like the worst offense in the NFL. Then you had an extra 7 days to prepare, and Mason Rudolph beat you, a backup. And they put up 31
points again, right?
Right.
Because Seattle, was Seattle Skyler?
Yes. Yes, it was. And then Tim Boyle. But I realize that. But then you had another full week to do it against New England. And you still looked awful, and you won by a toe, and you had one good drive where Alec Ingold just bulldozed everybody. They didn't put anything together that was, you know, you could deem it progress. And then you had a bye week, and then you come back, and this is the product again you're putting on the field? Like, at a certain point, he has to say, okay, this can't work, but I'm going to implement this with a bye week so that at the very least we can move the chains a little bit. And he's been unable to do that week after week, a four-week, four-game
sample size. Don't you think that's because of his quarterback? I do. And they were able to move the ball running yesterday. But I really believe that it stems from having the wrong backup quarterbacks.
It like stems from that.
And again, that's a coaching problem, and yes, it's certainly a general manager problem because it's a personnel problem. But you can't tell me that they would look that putrid if Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback. Like, they just wouldn't.
I think you're both correct on this, but it's almost to a point like Solana's saying, and I'll even go just post-bye week, Hawk. Just post-bye week. You have 14 days. Now you know what Tim Boyle and Tyler Hunt can do. We have a problem. We have to address it. Let's address the problem that we have at backup, but also let's implement some plays that we know they can be successful at. Let's stop running these damn outside runs, these pitches, and all these hand sweeps. We're not going anywhere. Let's go downhill. Let's do something that we'll see. Simple as this. Look at who the hell Indy played and see what plays worked against them in the past couple weeks and put them damn routes in. They couldn't cover them last week. They can't cover them against Tennessee. They might not be able to cover them against us.
But if Huntley or Boyle can't get the ball to those open receivers, then what's the difference? I mean, Aronde said he had Tyreek and Jalen beyond Jonnu Smith open, but he didn't see them or didn't look for them or didn't feel comfortable throwing the ball there, so he kept throwing it to Jonnu Smith.
Harbaugh found a way to get Tyler Huntley to at least look like a formidable backup. I'm not saying he was great with the Ravens, but they won a game. He was a damn Pro Bowler. You know what I'm saying, Hawk? Like, at a certain point, if you're an NBA coach and your entire starting five can shoot three, so your entire offense is dictated upon the three, four out of your five starters get hurt and all your backups can't shoot threes, you're not going to run the same game plan game after game after game. No, you adjust. At a certain point, you have to adjust and say, we can't win games doing this, so I have to implement this. Over 5 weeks, he had an opportunity to do it, and he didn't.
But again, my point is this. What's the adjustment? You have Tyreek Hill out there. Before the season started, number one player in the NFL. That's what he was ranked by, forget which, I think it was ESPN.
The players voted him.
By the players themselves. You have Tyreek Hill. How much stuff do you need to do? Like, how much do you need to reinvent when you've got Tyreek Hill and then you also happen to have Jalen Waddle, who's healthy? Like, I can't help but blame the talent level on the quarterbacks that they've trotted out there. And again, that's not absolving Mike McDaniel of the blame for that. And that's not absolving Chris Greer of the blame for that. They're the ones who keep trotting these guys out.
Huh. You have Tua, you can make Tua Tartar. Right? You make the Tua. If now I give you a boil, you don't have the Tua anymore to make the Tartar. You might have to adjust to make another meal with that.
But in other words,
that's what I'm saying. They're running the same crap. I'm with
but
you.
In other words,
Tyreek's great.
I have Tyreek Hill.
What you're doing to the person that has the ball. It's a problem that they're there, but now you have that problem. Solve that problem. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Jordan Love's an amazing quarterback, Pro Bowl guy. They lose him. Malik Willis, he gets in. They run the ball 42 times the next game. I'm not laughing. I'm not having Malik Willis run the same place Jordan
but
Love.
They don't have Tyreek Hill. They don't have the best receiver or one of the best receivers in the league. Like, that to me, that's folly. To me, that's folly.
If you have somebody that can't get him the ball, why would you keep trying to get him open? If he's open, you even said it.
Because you made a mistake in the guy who needs to get him the ball. It's like,
yes.
The mistake. The mistake is not, we've got a guy who can't get the ball to Tyreek, so let's do something different. The mistake is, why do we have a guy who can't get the ball to Tyreek?
I know, Hawk.
That's the mistake.
At first, that's the mistake. I'm with you.
At first, it was Skyler. They recognized it quickly. So let's go out and let's get Tyler Huntley. And let's bring up Tim Boyle. And then you realize Tim Boyle can't do it either. So we get Tyler Huntley. And then you find out Tyler Huntley can't do it either. Now you're back to Tim Boyle. Like, no. You made mistakes over and over and over again. The same mistake, which is bringing in the wrong backups.
But then doesn't the coach have to be responsible for just finding a way to make the team have an opportunity to win games, Hawk? And yes,
right.
The
way to find that is to find a guy who can get the ball to Tyreek Hill.
You can't make Tua Tartar when you have a crab boil.
But here's what you're saying. We're a restaurant. We have the finest Wagyu steak.
Mm-hmm.
Our chef goes home sick. So we bring in the sous chef to now be the chef. And he keeps burning the steak. Well, you know what? Let's stop serving Wagyu, even though we're known for it. Now we serve eggs.
No.
No. Get a chef who can serve the damn Wagyu.
No. You have a Wagyu restaurant that serves Wagyu, and then your next delivery is raccoon meat. You can't make that same Wagyu steak with raccoon meat.
No, but the thing is, you still have Tyreek Hill. He's still out there. He's on the field.
And I know what I'm saying. And you and the guy that's throwing him the ball can't get it to him like Tua can. So why
that's run what I'm saying. So let's make eggs instead of Wagyu.
Let's make some eggs. Let's win some games making eggs. Let's keep our customers making eggs. Because if we stick with this Wagyu, this guy's going to burn it.
And that, to me, is folly. You find someone who can cook the Wagyu. You find someone who can get the ball to Tyreek Hill.
And at this venture in the NFL season, there is nobody qualified enough that's as a sous chef to be able to make that Wagyu the same.
Right. Huge problem that yes. Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel caused. That's yes. a huge problem that they caused.
Skylar Thompson being on this team for 3 years, it upsets me now. Everybody told me in camp he's amazing. Is he just good on Wednesdays? You should have looked at him on Sundays.
Yeah, but they had 3 years Ronde to develop
says, just make Wagyu strips, stir fry, put it in like, you know, put it into some stuff. You don't just abandon the Wagyu.
Make some raccoon tartare. I like the Tua tartare thing because it's tuna, you know. See what I was getting at?
Well, we got it, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You can't make Tua tartare with, you know, ground beef.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
Boil, crab, boil.
Sure,
tuna.
We got it. Yeah, there's okay. a lot of restaurant tie-ins.
Can you eat raccoon meat?
Yes. Tastes like rabbit.
Oh, Robert Kennedy. That guy, Bobby Kennedy, will eat all that stuff.
Raccoon's not bad. Honestly, raccoon's not bad. Possum is terribly nasty. And armadillo. Armadillo's decent when you fry it.
Why would you eat any of that?
Well, a lot of people. I mean, listen, we didn't all grow up by the falls, Solana. A lot of people eat roadkill. I'm not even joking.
Well, it wasn't roadkill. We actually hunted it. You know, we didn't find it on the side of the road. We hunted it.
I mean, how hard is it to hunt a raccoon? They walk around your backyard. I mean, you throw out a couple of strips of garbage.
Raccoon hunting isn't difficult. I'll give you that. Armadillos, if you scream too loud, they ball up in a little ball and hide. So that's pretty easy. And possums are probably the dumbest animal in the world.
I mean, just go to Publix. Get yourself a damn sub. I mean, what? I don't understand.
So you think I was eating armadillo standing next to a pub sub?
This is tough news for the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk, according to Jordan Schultz, insider for Fox Sports, out for the season. They confirmed
a
torn ACL.
Sean's out for the season.
Yep. Yeah, tore his Achilles.
That was a blessing to the Browns.
It was.
Not their salary cap, but their season. Honestly, it is.
Well, now the insurance covers it. No joke. Because it's an injury. It's a blessing. I mean, it's crazy to say it, but I don't like him anyway.
Did you guys see the weird mix-up, though, before that even happened? Jameis has been the backup all season long for Cleveland. But this week, Jameis was actually inactive. He was the third emergency quarterback. And I'm forgetting their backup's name. But
guy with the hyphen.
Yeah, too many names.
The real Thomas Jackson or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Philip Michael Thomas.
I don't think there's a Darrell Thomas or a Jackson in his name, but you did indeed give us three names. And I think earlier this
Houseboat
year,
car.
We called him Dorian Finney-Smith at one point.
Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR.
What I said.
So is Jameis, like, can we trade for Jameis then?
Oh, well,
not now. They kind of need him now.
They can have Boyle, Huntley, Skyler, McDaniel, and Greer. All of them. Package deal. And some Tua Tartar.
Give them Eichenberg, too, if we're just selling.
Well, give them Julian Hill, then.
He just jumped off sides again.
All right, a couple other things happening. By the way, Tua also, just to wrap up the Tua news, he also confirmed that he's not going to wear the Guardian cap. He says it's a personal choice. and Crowder nailed this as of a month ago because you told us he's not going to wear it.
No.
He'll wear it. By the end of the season, he's going to wear it.
No, he's not. Looks
if
goofy.
You're the coach and you say to him, you cannot run the ball under any circumstance unless you're wearing the Guardian cap.
No problem. He falls down.
No.
Fetal position.
Mm-mm.
And it makes no sense. It just it looks too goofy.
The Hurricanes. Some good news, man. That was a fun-ass game. Some frustrating moments, but a fun-ass game.
I was nervous, but it was great.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody who came out to the quarterdeck in Davie. We had a really good turnout and a really good watch party as well. So I appreciate everybody who came out.
And that's the kind of game I love to watch, by the way. You know I love points. Yeah. I don't care if you're giving up points when you're scoring that many points. I mean, I needed to put on a Guardian cap watching the Dolphins game yesterday after having watched the Hurricanes game the day before.
And what's his name? Shannon Dawson. That's the OC, right?
Yeah.
He's calling the game knowing it's a shootout. Cause they're getting some third and threes and he's throwing 60-yard posts. And I'm like,
I'll take 50 burgers over Wagyu any day of the week.
I'm telling you. Yeah. That offense is rolling.
Bro, Cam is just he's special, man. Hawk, the way he's bouncing around in the pocket, dancing, just like
casual.
It's crazy, man.
Casual.
Crazy.
And when he takes off, it doesn't like he's moving fast, but then you see him walking away from some DBs, and I was like, Cam, gonna fly a little bit.
He waits and he waits. This Tim Boyle chucked the ball on fourth down. Not that they were going to win this game anyway, but at least, like, you see this happen all the time in the NFL where there's, you know, 38 seconds left, and somehow they end up all the way down the field for a couple plays into the end zone, whether it gets in or not. I mean, it just chucks the ball. Over, like, I still am having a tough time. The guy's played in the NFL for a long time. He knows the situation. What am I possibly missing there? Could the throw have been that errant?
Yes. And then to throw it out of bounds, throw it closer to the sideline. You see quarterbacks do this where it's fourth down. There's... If I throw an interception, who cares?
He gets picked. I mean, this is the only way we can stay in the game.
So he could have escaped to the right, just looked over, saw where there was a bunch of his receivers, and thrown a punt up in the air.
Yeah.
Thrown a Hail Mary type pass. Somebody come down with it. Help me out. He throws it out of bounds.
To Malik Washington, by the way, I think the new strategy for the Dolphins is have Malik Washington run a route and throw the ball to the other side of the field every single time. You should never throw the ball to Malik Washington.
Put Tyreek Hill in a Malik Washington jersey, and then maybe someone will look at him. If you're Tim Boyle, you've had no success in the NFL, wouldn't you think to yourself, you know what? I can make a name for myself here. I just got to get the ball to Tyreek. No matter how many people are on him, maybe we'll get a pass interference. Who knows? Like, I got to know, because I'm Tim Boyle. I got to know where Tyreek is on the field during this play, because I got to send the ball his way.
Yep.
If anyone's going to help me, Tim Boyle, with a miracle comeback, it might be Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to be Malik Washington. It's probably not going to be my legs. Like, it's probably, out of all the people on the field, the guy who's going to help me cement my name in, you know, Dolphins history is probably Tyreek Hill. Yes. So I either got to get it to him, or I'm going to zing the ball over Malik Washington's head and hit a lady in the stands.
You remember that playoff game when Henny got in for Kansas City?
Yeah.
I think he completed 8 passes. 7 of them were to Travis
bink,
Kelce.
Bink.
It was Kelce.
Know who can help you.
What? Yeah. No, I'm going to trick him and go to Washington this play. I'm with you. It's ridiculous. That was a ridiculous game. That was upsetting.
Did you see? I read Malik Washington's lips when the ball was coming to him. Me? You couldn't believe it.
You know what? I know you're joking, but Malik couldn't have lined up on 4th and 3 and said he's going to me.
I guarantee you whoever was on Malik said, well, we know it's not coming to our side.
He didn't even look. Malik was just running down the sideline. He didn't look
back. Well, look, I mean, he didn't have a better chance to see any clips than find that ball.
And for all the people texting in to look up Tim Boyle's stats at UConn, where he played 3 years. Yeah, OG sent us this yesterday. I checked it out. 1 touchdown, 13 interceptions over 3 years at UConn.
We read it at the beginning of the show because Joe Shad had tweeted out something last night that had even greater stats. Because what I was saying at the beginning of the show was, Tim Boyle has shown you who he is. This isn't on him. He's shown you who he is. That's on Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel for saying that's our guy. Tim Boyle has shown you over and again, over and over again, who he is. In the NFL, he's 0-5. He's thrown 4 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. He has a passer rating of 56. At UConn, 1 touchdown, 13 interceptions. At Eastern Kentucky, 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Like, he's shown you who he is.
I'm taking Cleo Lemon.
This Tim Boyle is unbelievable. How's he getting jobs still, right? I mean,
it's really crazy. It's crazy.
I can tell you the answer, even though I have no research behind it, but I know these type guys. He's super smart.
Super nice. Can pick up the playbook like that. Yep.
Married, a bunch of kids, no trouble, no problem. Helps out the team. Gets there at 5 a.m. when meetings start at 7. He's sitting in meeting rooms. Drinking chai lattes. I've played with guys like this. I know exactly who he is.
Let's have a killer LinkedIn page, brother, because, oh, my God.
He drives a Wagoneer. I know him.
Jeep Grand Cherokee.
I know him.
But, again, that's on Greer and McDaniel. You know what I mean? Like, it's not – like, Tim Boyle, he didn't have a breakout season, and then people got – remember that guy, what was it, Flynn?
Yeah, Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
Seattle, yeah.
You know, like, no, Tim Boyle, like, you know exactly what you're getting. You know exactly what you're getting.
Tim Boyle has been Tim Boyle his whole life.
Tim Boyle will Tim Boyle from now till whenever. God bless him that he's been able to put a career together doing it. Yeah. But Tim Boyle, in that situation yesterday, did exactly what Tim Boyle does. Launch the ball over Malik Washington's head.
To be fair, the last time he tried to throw up a ball, Javon Holland returned it for 6 on Black Friday last year.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's 2 games tonight. Monday Night Football. Tampa Bay is a 4.5-point home dog facing the Baltimore Ravens. And Arizona is a 1-point dog at home against the L.A. Chargers. The first game begins at 8. Second game begins at 9. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Nice day outside in South Florida. That is your weather.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.
So if we do a quick 15 minutes of game day uncensored, which is brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV. For those who never want to lose their edge, experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. What would you give letter grade-wise, Crowder, to Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel? I'll start there. Letter grade for yesterday.
Just yesterday? F, honestly.
F.
Yeah, that was a failure. After two weeks, 14 days of preparation, that's the best thing you can roll out there. That was a failed head coach performance.
If you watch them next Sunday and the offense is humming and they put up 30, 35 points, will you then just say, you know what? McDaniel is really good at calling an offense if he's got a decent quarterback to run it.
Huck, I've actually referenced you. I don't like to tell you this because you already are very confident. I've referenced what you said, where after this, Tua is the fuel that runs this engine. McDaniel is okay. Tua is the fuel that runs this engine. So I would say it makes it easier for him to do his job with a top-rated quarterback. But no, Tua's better at quarterback than McDaniel is at head coaching, hands down, guaranteed.
USA Today gave coaching a B- for the Dolphins yesterday. Considering Miami's injury misfortunes, Coach Mike McDaniel couldn't have done much more. Huntley couldn't have done much in the short time he was in the game, but that's more attributed to Huntley's time spent in the offense or lack of fit with the team. McDaniel could have adapted more to Huntley's style, but that would have required more changes to the offense, which could have had a worse effect. After Huntley left the game, Boyle also didn't look great, but the running game looked good. The loss showed more about how to overcome potential future quarterback absences more than anything else. McDaniel's biggest call of the game came when he opted to send Sanders out for the field goal attempt, which he missed in the fourth quarter on a 4th-and-1 situation on the 36-yard line. It's hard to blame him for trying to tie the game when points were scarce, but facing a 1-yard situation, he could have taken advantage of decent field position Miami rarely saw on Sunday. Now, I don't have a problem. I'm with you. I'd give the head coaching an F just because you can't go out there and do that. You just can't do that. Like, no. that's got to start somewhere. But I will say, I didn't mind going for the field goal there. 36-yard field goal, Jason Sanders indoors. It's a dome. That's a gimme. Like that. Yeah. That's one of the biggest gimmies you'll ever get. He's got to make that kick, period, end of story. Now you've got a tie game. All you need to do is muster up, if your defense can still continue to hold them, all you've got to do is muster up a field goal to win the game. Like, you're in it. So I thought McDaniel made the right decision because they get a yard. They're still 30 yards away from getting a touchdown. I don't know if you watched the game yesterday. They might as well have been 130 yards away from getting a touchdown.
And now I think now it's, and it's swung. Hell, it's swung since I've retired, where the Dan Campbells and all these people just go for fourth downs all the time. Go for fourth down. Go for fourth down. The next gen stats says there's a 54% chance better. Next gen nothing. In a game that's 10 to 13, get some points. Get some points. Like,
just get some points.
It's not 45-42. You know, Anthony Richardson's not marching anybody anywhere. So get points on the board and see what happens late. No,
and it's not a 56-yarder, you know, where Jason Sanders, you go, oh, my God. Like, this was a field goal makeable for anyone who kicks field goals in the NFL.
It was a 53-yarder or a 54-yarder.
It was 53?
Yeah, the ball was around the 36 or 38. No, it was a 54 or 53-yarder.
I watched
48 or 49.
But I watched good kickers hit 60s consistently now.
Oh, that's still in a dome nowadays. Yeah. If it's 50, 52, 53, like, that's a gimme nowadays. It is. In a dome, like, you have to make that.
Y'all combined for 20 points in 4 quarters. There's not going to be a lot of scoring left in this game. Get some points on the board. But just the third down efficiencies, having those plays where you can go get a – I'm not talking about the fourth one. I'm talking about on some of them third and twos, third and threes. You don't have anything. You don't have some kind of route, those pick routes. I watched it all yesterday. The two receivers run past each other. One DB gets flustered by going over top, and they have an easy touchdown. I watched it 16, 20 times yesterday on getting – you're not going to get 80 yards on the play. You're going to get six. Go get six. The little zone left where the tight end sneaks out the backside, they throw it to him, and then he gets dumped on his head by a safety. You got 4 yards. Those kind of plays are what McDaniel, I don't know if he's good at those. Just get you 4 or 5 yards. And he wasn't doing that yesterday on some very, very simple conversion attempts.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.